Welcome to Just Relationships, the show that offers you concrete ways to make your relationships better. Whether it's your boss, your spouse, your children, or your friends, the quality of your relationships in life directly affects how you feel about yourself and the success you achieve. Your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer, a social psychologist who specializes in relationship building and the director of our own human relations consulting firm, Personal Presence, will interview top experts to help you learn to manage this essential part of your life. And now, here's your host, Dr. Duffy Spencer.
Greetings to you. Well, do you like to eat? Would you call yourself a foodie? I don't think there are too many people on the planet who don't enjoy eating. We are built to enjoy eating with our taste buds to keep us alive. And sometimes those taste buds work overtime. And we can sometimes overeat and find ourselves very unhappy if those extra calories go into fat storage. And if you're interested in eating healthfully and feeling great and looking great, stay tuned, because I am very, very pleased to introduce my guest to you, Dr. Judy Hollis. She is a best-selling author of several books. Her latest is called From Bagels to Buddha, How I Found My Soul and Lost My Fat. You may know of her earlier books, Fat is a Family Affair, Fat and Furious, and Hot and Heavy. And here we are today talking about From Bagels to Buddha. Welcome, Dr. Judy Hollis.
Hi, Dr. Duffy.
How are you?
Great, thank you.
I have to brag that Judy is my personal friend, and I'm so happy. We have I called Dr. Judy Hollis my West Coast sister.
Yes.
So here we are, and this is part two of your latest book, From Bagels to Buddha. And would you mind just explaining a little bit, Dr. Judy, some of what you mean by that, because we can't assume that everyone heard part one.
Right.
Okay.
Well, basically the idea is that we want to move from being glommed down and overstuffed and kind of glued, what I call lard-laden and sugar-coated.
Mm.
We want to move from being that person to being free-floating and open, being a semi-permeable membrane, letting some new ideas and some new air and light come through, being a transparent self, letting others see our boogaboos and not being upset about any foibles we have, kind of childlike. You know, Harry Stack Sullivan, an early psychologist, said mental health is close to childlikeness.
Yes.
And some of the experiences that I talk about in this book of being in a Buddhist monastery, I talk about the monks having such wide open eyes and being kind of childlike. They seem to be giggling most of the time. These were adult people who had come from very difficult backgrounds, and they found a way to transcend that, to be more in touch with what we call their Buddha nature. So that's what I mean by From Bagels to Buddha, moving from the overstuffed, glommed-on place to the free-floating, spiritual, enlightened place. And the byproduct of all of that is that your body will achieve its natural, normal, and healthy size and proportion.
Yes.
So that our relationship with our eating will change, and some of the things that once we were obsessed about and couldn't live without and insisted we have take on a different hue, that we don't need them quite the same way anymore, because we're living a way that makes us feel good about ourselves, and we don't turn to the self-punishment of food. Let me just say something that you mentioned in your introduction, and I know that saying food is a punishment sounds that's controversial right there, so we'll get to that for a minute. But, you know, when you said that eating, you know, is something that we enjoy, I just want to say that, you know, that's one thing a lot of overeaters get to learn when they come to treatment centers or in counseling with me, is they get to find out that they don't really enjoy eating as much as they thought they did. And I always like to use the example, you know, I started the nation's first eating disorder unit way back in 1975, and there weren't any other units then, so people came to us from all over the world, and they would say, lock me up, I'm so obsessed with food, I need someone to keep it from me, please, please, don't let me eat, okay? So they would come to us, and every evening we had them eat a mindful eating experience called the Divine Dine. Mm. And by the way, if people want to come to any of my book events, they should get a hold of me through judyhollis.com and sign up. And at those book events, we do give people a little bit of a Divine Dine experience to just taste it, more or less. But anyway, to give an introduction. But anyway, so every evening they were required to sit for 30 minutes just alone with their food, that they would eat their meal in silence. They would take nice bites and chew it to liquid and then gulp down. And when they were through with that bite, that was their signal. They could drink some water, but they couldn't drown their food with water. Just being alone with the food. Well, these were people who said they loved food, and they could not stand to have to take 30 minutes to eat.
Mm.
When they had to really slow it down and see what the eating experience was, they would start, when the staff wasn't in the room, they would start blowing straw wrappers at each other and, you know, very childlike, immature things, anything to get away from being with the food. So I'd ask all of your listeners to question, do you really love food? Maybe it's time to really take a look at that and see if you're not using food to slap yourself, to have an experience to feel bad about yourself.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that two-edged sword, that it seems like I want to taste those sweets. It's usually around sweets and,
yes,
and all the other carbs, and yet there is this frenetic eating, like a shark, a frenzy,
yes,
frenzied eating, and you say, aren't I really more wanting to demolish the food, and what or who am I really wanting to demolish?
That's a good point.
Yes,
yeah.
with my jaw and my teeth and,
yeah,
gnashing, and yes, destroying. Yes.
And also people should realize, if they can have, I know it's great when you have that moment of clarity before you want to take that bite, but that the sugar high lasts in the system for 18 minutes. You have 18 minutes going up and then zoom, you fall to the depths and you're in withdrawals. And then you're eating more and more just to try to get back up to baseline to not feel withdrawals anymore.
Mm.
So is it really worth it when you could eat protein, and that just gives you a little moderate satiety, and that will last in the system for 4 hours?
Yes, and then you feel more serene and,
yes,
calm and consistent without these sugar highs and lows.
Yes.
And you know, last show we didn't talk about the, you know, commercial aspect so much, but I am thinking about all the people who make a fortune on this, selling us this junk food, and how manufacturers will go to great lengths creating all kinds of artificial flavors and salt and sugar and crunch to literally set us up for our brains to be so triggered.
Mm-hmm.
That we just eat unconsciously.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And I always used to say at the end of my seminars, if you can do nothing else, avoid cellophane. And what I mean by that is try to have whole products rather than packaged, refined stuff. Because when you eat anything refined, you don't even get a sense of eating it. I mean, you don't even know that there was any substance there. It's all powder.
And between you and me, I always hated that word refined to,
yeah,
describe these kinds of foods.
Right, yeah.
It is such a misnomer for me. I prefer the word overprocessed.
There you go.
You know, and they really are non-foods, and they are dead.
Yes.
They are literally dead foods that we're eating. And, of course, we know that that the food that we get doesn't give us the nutrients that we were supposed to many years ago. So many changes have been made with depleted soil and genetically created foods.
So,
it's really back to basics in so many ways. And I shop in Whole Foods, and whenever I go, the place is so jam-packed.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that is so good because there are alternative ways of eating in this country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good sign, yeah. Here in Manhattan, I see a lot of young people shopping at Whole Foods. You know, they're not into destroying their bodies.
Yes, and I also just want to say that people who want to eat healthfully but don't read labels and are not really careful about what somebody is telling them is healthy food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to really become accustomed to the different ways that sugar is called. You know, there are some things that are advertised as sugar-free, and you look at it and you have corn syrup, the number one ingredient.
Yes.
So they give other names for the sugar, and they literally, it's just out and out lying.
Yeah. Well, I saw one label recently. It said reduced cane syrup. And
right.
That's sugar, right?
And now they tout gourmet soda made with cane syrup rather than corn syrup.
Yeah.
And they think that this is a good thing because it's pure sugar now. It's better.
Yeah.
So
the same thing.
It is absolutely crazy making.
Well, you know what's interesting is a few weeks ago, I had tried a new soda. It was low, like 5 calories, and I really loved it. And then I found out that it had orange juice in it. It was, anyway, and it reminded me that of this song, this Caribbean Calypso song, whatever I enjoy, I can be certain that it's illegal, it's immoral, or it makes me fat.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
And If I'm really liking it, I'd better read the label because it's going to say that it's, you know, illegal, immoral, or it's fattening, you know?
I know. It's really hard, and I understand that we have a sweet tooth. Our species has a sweet tooth because we had to have vitamin C on a daily basis, which was found in fruits. And so in order for us to be willing to have the fruits on a daily basis, we had to develop this sweet tooth.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, this sweet tooth has been so bastardized, and it certainly is overdone. And as I had asked you at the end of the last show...
well, wait, can I just...
Oh,
I just
sure,
want to say
of course.
Something there.
Sure.
And that is... A sweet tooth was nice, except what we did get into a bit in the last show and what is really emphasized a lot in From Bagels to Buddha is America's sense of overconsumption and more is better and immediate gratification. And so it's not enough for us to have one cookie.
Right.
We want 25 cookies and big muffins and giant bagels and everything... Not enough to get a taste and to be satisfied, but somehow a craving to fill what Carl Jung called the hole in the soul.
Oh, yes.
That we can't stand to have any sense of deprivation. And for overeaters, we have to do something that alcoholics don't have to live with as much, is because we have to take that tiger out of the cage 3 times a day and walk it around the block, we have to live with perpetual longing.
Mm.
We always want a little taste more, just one more bite.
Yes.
And so we have to learn how to make friends with that feeling when we put that tiger back in the cage and say bye-bye, you know?
Yes, yes.
And we haven't been taught any skills in how to do that. We're just taught the skill of you want it, devour it.
Right.
You know? So it's more of a psychological endeavor. I mean, it is, of course, the addictive part of the sugar. But there's also that psychological thing of I want it all and I'm going to have it now, you know?
Yes, yes.
So Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, no, that's okay. Yeah, that's a very interesting way of putting it. I think that makes so much sense. And you have written in your book, From Bagels to Buddha, about, you know, every day we are renegotiating that relationship. And,
yeah.
you know, we do it, as we say, three times a day, sometimes even more. And I just want everyone to know that this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. We are Just Relationships, WHPC 90.3 FM. And I'm interviewing Dr. Judy Hollis, best-selling author, and her latest book is called From Bagels to Buddha, How I Found My Soul and Lost My Fat. And if you're interested in learning about how to contact Dr. Judy Hollis with her Divine Dine retreats or her book reviews, just www.judyhollis.com, and that's J-U-D-I, judyhollis.com.
Or they can call me at 1-800-8-ENOUGH.
1-800-8-ENOUGH.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
So,
8-ENOUGH. We spell that out and we get the right numbers and it all works. It's all
right.
Good. Yes.
So, you know, we were talking last show and you were saying you wanted to ask me about what do we do when that compulsion comes over us and we're insisting I must have it.
Yes.
Right? Well, that's why it is very good to have some kind of a preventive program in place. So that we have people that we've been talking with about this. We have phone numbers to call that hopefully will have the wherewithal to call somebody before we do it. That's often helpful. When we know we're going into dangerous situations, family dinners or weddings or somewhere where there's going to be a lot of things that are going to tempt us, we do what's called bookending, which is we call someone before we leave for the event, or we go to a 12-step meeting, and then we make sure we'll get to call them afterwards and tell them how we did, so that we have other people who care about how we're going to do, that we're not left out there by ourselves. But I want to say that, and this is how I have operated now for 36 years and been maintaining an over 70-pound weight loss.
Yeah, wow, that
and
is really something.
Yeah, and you know, every day isn't perfect, and I've had all kinds of relationships with food over 36 years, but I'm doing it, and I still have a normal, very nice body, and I'm very healthy, and I'm keeping my back problems and my knee problems at bay because I'm staying healthy. But what I want to say is that some of my greatest moments in recovery have been in the middle of a bag of trail mix.
Mm.
And what I mean by that is, let's say I've given in to the compulsion,
mm-hmm.
and I'm gobbling up my trail mix, and I'm eating it like crazy, and I'm at the point where it no longer tastes good, but I just have to keep doing it, and then all of a sudden there'll be that moment of clarity where I'll say, you know what, this isn't even tasting good anymore. Let me put this down and make a phone call.
Yes.
And I'll call somebody and I'll ask them, can you please help me drown this in the sink?
Yes.
And I stay on the phone and I walk over to the sink while I'm still on the phone with them and I drown it. And if I have a garbage disposal, I turn it on. I don't just toss it in the trash because I'll pick it up again.
Yes.
So
you really demolish it.
Yeah. So here I am. I am an international expert. I'm already successful at this endeavor, and I still sometimes need to call other people to help me.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that they are there and that I have that kind of a support system, and I keep nurturing it for myself.
Yes, and as you... Well, congratulations, number one, for doing it, and number one, for telling us about it.
Sure.
So we don't have, what does that say, clay feet that we all,
right.
The heroes, the statues,
sure.
Clay feet.
And also, people tend to judge their insides by other people's outsides.
Right.
And just because the other person looks like they're doing well, you know, this illness with this food thing really gets us all down and dirty, you know?
Yes.
Because it gets us into our real animal groveling selves. And even the highest, mightiest of us have to admit that we have those moments.
Yes, and especially if we are inclined toward food addiction.
Yeah.
And not everyone is, but we live in a world of addicts, so if it's not food addiction, it can be TV addiction or something else. Unfortunately, when you quote Carl Jung, that we have a hole in our soul, this is an endemic in our society, and people are always looking for things outside of themselves to feel better, rather than, as you talk about in your book, From Bagels to Buddha, sitting with the uncertainty. And,
yes,
you know, that's very Buddha-like, to
sure
sit with
well,
the uncertainty.
Yeah, and the way I like to say that is, to lose the fat risk, you must live at risk.
Oh.
So you can't have everything guaranteed and you know what's going to happen. You have to be a person willing to step out on a limb. And that, again, is a good reason we need these other people to help us, because they will encourage us. You know, when I first started in my recovery, I had a master's degree. I was already a therapist when I came to recovery. And a lot of things in my life were encouraging me to go get a PhD. Well, I just balked at that, because when I was raised, a PhD, a doctorate, I was supposed to marry a doctor, not become one, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That was my orientation. But other women in the room said to me, you must be all you can be.
Yes.
You know, that our job in recovery is to seek our highest ground. And so I was encouraged to go ahead and get my doctorate. And I'm so happy I did, because then my PhD dissertation became my first book, which became a bestseller, which launched me on television and all the rest of my life that I didn't know was going to happen.
Because you took those risks and you got out of your comfort zone.
Yes.
And you were able to, as you say, live with the uncertainty and, by definition, be uncomfortable.
That's right. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And I have shared that similar kind of life path. And I know what it's like to continually expand and to be scared. Before Dr. Susan Jeffers' book came out, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Yes, great book.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
I used to say, I go with a lump in my throat, but I go.
There you go. Beautiful.
I lived with fear.
Uh-huh.
I lived with fear, and I was so used to it, I just went anyway. I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
And I am less fearful now. I was fearful because I believed that I was stupid and that I was worthless and that I didn't have much to offer the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted something. I wanted a better life. And I said, well, I have to do this. I have to go forward.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's an expression in the recovery movement. It's painful to go forwards. It's painful to go backwards. So I might as well go forwards.
Aha. Uh-huh. Very nice.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's beautiful. It really is. And look at what the world would have been without, you know, if you hadn't done what you risked and you did. You know, in my book, Fat and Furious, the book about mothers and daughters, on page 289, there's a wonderful thing, which is Agnes DeMille, who was the protege of Martha Graham. Agnes didn't like her dancing, and she wrote to Martha Graham, and she said, oh, I'm so disappointed in myself, and I don't like what I'm doing, and etc. And so I quoted the letter Martha Graham wrote back to her. And in that letter, she said, your job is to not to evaluate yourself or to evaluate your art, not to know how good it is. Your only job is to make sure that it transmits through you fully and clearly. And if you don't, the world will not have it. It has to be your unique thing. And it says, don't ask for comfort. There is no comfort whatever at any time. There is only a divine queer unrest that keeps us marching and keeps us different than the rest.
Wow.
Isn't that lovely?
That's incredible.
Yeah. And so the reason that we want to keep our food in order is so that our body is a resonant channel for what's our message and what we're supposed to be doing today.
Yes, very much so. And I know that when I am eating right and eating healthfully, and not only eating healthfully in terms of what I eat, but how I eat, mm-hmm. right, as we've been talking about, we don't need to eat in a frenzy. And for me, when I'm on a food plan, I can eat, I have to stop and eat.
Yes.
Three meals a day. And, you know, that takes a lot of time in our speedaholic society.
Sure.
And it's crazy. It's crazy when you think about what kind of lives do we live that we don't have the time to sit down.
Yeah.
Literally to sit down and eat three meals a day slowly, as you were describing.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly and chewing really well and not gulping.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me to be on a food plan, as I have been of late, a specific and just natural food plan, not a diet, does require me putting more spaces in my schedule for eating.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not something that I've always thought about. I was kind of grabbing lunch or something while I was busy working. So when you said in the last show, when you talked about changing a lifestyle, that it's really about changing how we live.
Sure.
Not only how we eat.
Yes. But it's also changing our way that we move in the world, like not trying to win so much, you know, letting the other guy pull in front of you on the freeway.
Right.
Smiling at your neighbor. Something I noticed this week about myself is, and here I'll tell on myself, a thing I did not like about myself was that I was kind of a tsk-tsk person, in that if I noticed people doing something dishonest or sneaky or not honest enough with themselves, I wanted to tell them about it.
Yes.
I wanted to be in the role of bringing that to their attention.
Right.
And I've been working on this for a while, but lately I so don't want to be in that role. I don't want to be a part of bringing bad news to people, you know? And so if I can find another way, a kinder, gentler way to say things, like the Buddhists talk about using skillful means. You know, you have a job to do, but do it skillfully.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be practicing that more and more. You know, you and I have a nice friendship. You're going to find me being nicer and nicer.
You're going to be nicer to me?
I'm going to be really nice.
You're already so nice to me.
You're not going to believe it. It's going to feel like sugar.
I can't. Oh, good. I need some sugar.
Okay.
I need some sugar.
You got it.
But, you know, I think what you're talking about, yes, is that one-upsmanship.
Yes.
And I think that upsmanship comes from being one down.
I feel it comes from low self-esteem.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we were children, by definition, we were smaller, we were littler, so we were one down. You had to look down at us, and we were one down in status and in experience. And we've all been put down so many times that now, what you're saying, unfortunately, I know exactly what you're talking about, because I certainly have played the gotcha game myself. You know, gotcha, you know, it's not just me.
Right.
You're a screw up, too. It's not just me.
Yeah.
And I think that's a result of having been put down so much in our lives. And I want everyone to know that this is Dr. Duffy Spencer. And I want to thank you so much, Dr. Judy Hollis, author of From Bagels to Buddha, judyhollis.com, J-U-D-I, to get in touch with her. 1-800-8-ENOUGH is her number. And we are just relationships. And I'm signing off now and reminding you to have great relationships.